Hello, welcome. This is the introduction to corporate finance. We're looking to develop your skills in a financial environment, understanding more about corporate finance. What is corporate finance? Corporate finance is the financial analysis of pricing and product strategies. This is the marketing function of corporate finance. We need to understand the pricing of our product and the strategies involved so that we can market our product and continue to grow revenues. Information for making better financial decisions are accounting and information systems. We need information systems in accounting to help us understand how profitable or how unprofitable our business is. Assessing and increasing the financial value of human capital. We need to make sure that we're making investments into our human capital, our employees, to ensure that they are maximizing the outputs as much as possible. Assessing the financial payoff to creating and augmenting barriers to entry is our corporate strategy. We want to ensure that we insulate our organization and create barriers of entry to competitors to enter the market. Financial consequences of production and operating decisions, which is the production and operations management of our firm. So look into the balance sheet. This is a snapshot of how our company is performing financially, how operations are going as far as assets compared to liabilities, and how much owner's equity we have in our company that we can distribute to shareholders. So you'll notice assets on the left-hand side of the balance sheet. Fixed assets are long-lived real assets, plant, property, equipment. Current assets, short-lived assets, is typically our inventory, what we're selling. Financial investments, investments in securities and assets of other firms. We can own stocks, we can own bonds. Other securities from other firms might be their preferred stock. Assets which are not physical, like patents and trademarks. So intangible assets, we own a patent or a trademark on a logo or on an invention, and we can insulate that from somebody else taking our idea. Liabilities, current liabilities, short-term liabilities of the firm, that might be accounts payable, something that you've got on credit from another company as far as raw materials or something like that for your input of operations. Debt obligations of the firm, could be bank loans, it could be issuing corporate debt, things like that, other liabilities, other long-term obligation, any kind of notes payable, things like that, and also equity in the firm is we can either retain that in earnings and reinvest that equity that we've got, which is assets minus liabilities, gives us owner's equity. We can invest that equity back into our company, or we can distribute that equity to shareholders. The financial view of the firm, again, this is just breaking down the balance sheet. Assets in place, existing investments, they generate cash flow today. This includes long, fixed, and short-lived working capital assets, plant, property, equipment. As long-lived, fixed, and short-lived would be raw materials and materials that would be in process to create your products. Growth assets, expected value that will be created by future investments. Are we going to reinvest capital into our company so that we can grow? Are we going to invest in a company and buy their stock because we expect them to grow? Those are growth assets. Liabilities. So debt, fixed claim on cash flows. So our cash flow comes in, we have a fixed interest rate that we pay on our debt, and as we pay that down, the interest rate stays the same, our payments stay the same because it's a fixed interest rate. Little or no role in management. Fixed maturity. The fixed maturity is a 5-year obligation, a 10-year obligation, 15, 20, 30-year obligation on our debt. So the maturity when that debt comes to the end or to the end of its life, when it's all to be paid back, that is maturity. Anything tax deductible, depreciation, amortization, things like that. Equity, residual claim on cash flows. So we capture the cash flows, we pay down the liabilities. What's left after we have our cash flow and our assets, we subtract out the liabilities, we have the equity. So now we can, again, disperse that equity to shareholders, or we can reinvest that capital into the company, or we can do both. First principles in the big picture. So maximize the value of the firm. That is the goal of upper management. They want to maximize the value for shareholders so we can continue to appreciate our stock price. People will buy the stock. Our shareholders won't sell the stock, and they'll remain owners into the business. The investment decision, invest in assets that earn a greater return than the minimum acceptable hurdle rate. So, say market return on an ordinary annuity is 7%. Now we've got to make the decision, do we want to go with the 7% investment, or do we want to look for something more attractive that may offer a little more risk but a greater return, like 10%. The financing decision, find the right kind of debt for your firm and the right mix of debt and equity to fund your operations. As a financial manager, you want to make sure that you're not overloading yourself with debt. You don't want too many debt obligations that could run into cash flow problems in the future. Let's say the economy takes a downturn, our revenues are cut by 20%, and now we have all these debt obligations because we're 70% leveraged and we can't pay the debt down. Now we have to file for bankruptcy or restructuring of our debt, which will hurt our credit rating, which will cost us in future financing capital as far as raising interest rates because our credit will go down. The dividend decision, if you cannot find investments that make your minimum acceptable rate, return the cash to your business owners. So if we can't reinvest this capital at a return that is soothing our appetite for the return, then we can redistribute those funds back to the shareholders and distribute that in a dividend. Corporate finance is common sense. There is nothing earth-shattering about the idea of any of these first principles that govern corporate finance. After all, arguing that making a business investment that yields 9% while the cost of financing the investment is 10% will not be a profitable investment. That's common sense, right? We know that the investment is going to yield 9%, but the cost of financing that investment is 10%. We've got a negative 1% as far as our return. It's not profitable. We don't want to take that investment. It's pretty common sense. Finance managers should recognize that the cost of financing an investment is greater than the return on the investment. Then the firm should not make the investment. We want to make sure that our costs are always lower than our return so that we can make a profit, so that we can pay shareholders, or we can grow our company. Then the firm can consider what to do next with the free cash flow. It can choose another investment option that is more advantageous for the firm, or it can return the excess capital back to the shareholders, or it can do a little bit of both. Corporate finance is focused. Corporate finance focuses on maximizing the value of the firm, maximizing the value for the shareholders. The value of our firm is priced into the share of our stock, which is obtained by our financial metrics, how profitable we are, how are we hitting our growth targets, things like that. As a result of this, the singular objective finance managers can choose the correct investment strategy given various investment decision rules. They can determine the correct mix of debt and equity financing for a specific business. Again, you want to make sure that you're not overloading yourself with debt and that you're maintaining a good debt-to-equity ratio. Examine the correct amount of cash that should be returned to shareholders and the correct amount of cash to be reserved for retained earnings. Retained earnings is what we bring back into the company for reinvestment. So let's focus on the changes across the life cycle. So we can see here we've got an example of the balance sheet. So in the assets column on the left, we've got $1.5 billion already invested. I'm sorry, that's $15 billion already invested, $3 billion investments yet to be made. So we're holding that $3 billion in cash. liabilities, $7 billion. We've got some kind of debt obligation, long-term, short-term debt obligation for $7 billion. So if we look, we have $15 billion plus $3 billion is $18 billion. And you'll notice the $18 billion minus the $7 billion, $11 billion. So assets minus liabilities gives you the equity. But the real equation in this sense is liabilities plus equity equals assets. That is the true balance sheet equation. So assets should equal liabilities plus equity. Liabilities plus equity should equal assets, as it does in this example. So now let's look at this next example on the bottom of LinkedIn's financial balance sheet. So they've got investments already made at $0.25 million because they are in different phases of the life cycle. You can see the difference between investments already made between the two companies. Con Ed's got $15 million investments already made, where LinkedIn has got $0.25 billion investments already made. Why? Because Con Ed is early in the stage of their life cycle. The investments already made are large. So they're large capital inflows in the beginning of a startup, because you've got to get your processes in place, you've got to get your plant, property, equipment going, buy your raw materials, hire your labor. So all of those are capital intensive things. So that is why Con Ed's balance sheet has got a greater sum of investments already made than LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn has got a lot of cash because they're much further along in their life cycle. You can see investments yet to be made, $13.35 billion, right? That means they're holding on to $13.35 billion in cash, ready to make this investment into whatever they want. So you look over, now look, LinkedIn is debt-free, zero debt. So they are way into the maturity phase, past their growth phase. They've paid down all their debt. Now, look at their equity, $13.6 billion. They can either reinvest that money back into LinkedIn, or they can distribute back to shareholders. My guess is, because they're so far along in the maturity process, in the growth phase, in the life cycle, they will retain. Well, they will return that $13.6 billion to shareholders. So you can see Con Ed still has high liabilities at $7 billion, so they're still getting ramped up in operations. They're still borrowing debt. Now, one good thing, they are in a healthy position because their debt to equity is positive on the equity side, right? It's almost 2-to-1 debt to equity, probably more like 1.7-to-1 equity to liability. So they're in pretty good shape. They can pay down their debts right now and still have a comfortable cash cushion. Corporate finance is universal. Every business, small or large, public or private, U.S. or emerging market, has to make investment, financing, and dividend decisions. We all have to do that as financial managers. We've got to make sure that we understand the market that we're participating in and what kind of decisions we have to make to ensure we are profitable. While the constraints and challenges that firms face can vary dramatically across firms, the first principles do not change. A publicly traded firm has greater access to capital markets and a more diversified investor base. They may have a much lower cost of debt, which is the interest they pay on that debt. It costs them less because the interest rates are lower. And equity than a private business, right? Because a publicly traded firm, they raise capital quickly in the capital markets because they can leverage their business operations to have collateral for their debt, or they can issue more stock to raise capital in equity markets. But both publicly traded and private firms should look for the financing mix that minimizes their cost of capital the most. A firm in an emerging market may face the greater uncertainty when assessing new investments than a firm in a developed market. Both firms should invest only if they believe they can generate higher returns on their investments than they face their respective and very difficult hurdles. Everybody's going to face hurdles, but they want to make sure that they're making the investments that can generate higher returns.